We're talking about prosperity. Last week we started this teaching, and just as a quick review, well, let's go ahead and open up to our foundational scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. And it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." In verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we explored that last week, that God's not after your money, is he? He's not a money grubber. He's not out to clean your wallet out. What is he after in this verse? He's after your heart. Because where your treasure is, so your heart will be also. So if that's a, you know, what he's indicating here, it's a good barometer, isn't it? It's something for us to consider for ourselves. Where are we laying up our treasures? It's showing where our heart is. And there's a benefit for laying up your treasures, or he tells you where to put those treasures, and that's in heaven. Laying it up in heaven. And that's some of the things we're going to be exploring, is laying up treasures in heaven versus laying them up here, because here you can't trust here. I'm here to tell you, stock market does this, and I'm not saying not put your money in the stock market, but don't put your trust in the money you're putting in the stock market, because thieves come in and steal. Moth and rust corrupts. It's uncertain riches is what we're going to be exploring. But that which you lay in heaven is there for eternity. That's awesome. What a savings account. There's nobody's going to tax it away from you, or nobody's going to mess with you. I mean, that money is for you. That treasure that you're laying up in heaven is for you. And I know that we don't understand, well, what is this treasure? What exactly, you know? I'm here to tell you, there's not a lot of detail to what this treasure is, but there are some hints and some clues, and we'll be getting into that, on what it is that we're going to benefit in heaven. But it's something that's eternal, not temporal. It's something that's going to benefit us for eternity. But what Jesus is after here, what God is after here concerning treasures, is he's after your heart. And I'd say that probably the biggest competitor that God has to your devotion is stuff. Stuff is the biggest thing that's going to lure you away from him and affect your relationship with him more than anything else. And Jesus taught on finances more and talked about money more than any other subject. In fact, all of Scripture talks more about stewardship and money than it does about any other subject. That's amazing. But why is that true? I believe the reason why it's true is because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And there's some competition here for your heart. He loves you. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. It's the whole point why you were created, was to have an intimate relationship with God. And then to have some goofy car and boats and stuff like that get in the way of that? Man, it's not worth it. And if we can learn our proper perspective of money, how do we handle money safely? Because Scripture clearly says that he wants us to be prosperous beyond what we can ask or think. Why aren't we there? Maybe it's our perspective about money and how we handle money is the reason why God can't afford and we're going to be exploring this, can't afford to prosper us to the place where we have beyond what we can ask or think, because he knows that it's going to destroy our relationship with him. And that is primary what God's heart is. He wants your heart. He wants to have a relationship with you. And anything that's going to come between him and you, he's going to, don't want it. But he's doing it because he loves you. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. But if we can scripturally handle money right, then we will not be destroyed by prospering abundantly in the Lord. We can have an excellent relationship with him and have nice houses, cars, boats, and all that other stuff, and be able to meet people and meet people's needs and reach out to people. And as long as the money is in the proper perspective in our lives, as long as we don't let it rule and reign our lives, God's going, my desire is that you guys prosper in abundance. Heaven's that way. Gold streets. I mean, he's extravagant. And how many of you that have kids want to pour into your kids, wanting them to have the best? That's a godly desire. But you don't want to heap it on them to the place to where then they start getting unthankful and they start wandering away from you and start getting a cocky attitude. Next thing you know, there's a rift. I want my $20. Where's my $20? Come on, it's Saturday. I got friends to go out to the movies with, and they're like, how come you're not delivering? My friends get all this stuff. I went through this with my kids. Well, I don't have to work. My friends don't work, and they get $50 to go run around and do whatever they want to do. How come I got to earn it? How come I got to work? How come And all their friends are going, man, your parents must not like you because they don't just give you the $50. They make you earn it. When they got up older, I mean, we used to get them the Nike shoes and all the fancy stuff. When they got up older, I said, no, you're going to go out and start working for that. You're horrible. How dare you? That was their attitude. It ain't just kids. It's you and me do that. Come, you're not providing, God. What's the matter with you? I thought you were a prosperous God. You're a phony. And we laugh, but some of us are straightening our ties if we had them. So money is important, but God's not a money grubber. He's not coveting our money. He talks about it so much because where your money is, there your heart is also. He's not after our money, he's after our heart. I want that cemented into you. What does it mean to be prosperous? God wants you to be prosperous, but he put laws into effect within those blessings. It's God's will to prosper us, not destroy us. This is good. Let's look at three definitions of prosperity. The first one, go to Isaiah 53:10. The first definition that is given concerning prosperity is to achieve one's goals, fulfilling one's purpose. Isaiah 53, verse 10. As you can tell, I can't think and stand still at the same time. Someday we'll be videotaping this stuff, and I give me a patient camera person, Lord. I'm going to wear them out. Okay, Isaiah 53:10. I want you to notice what's being said here. This is so good. Yes, it pleased the Lord. Yes, it pleased the Lord. In other words, he took pleasure in doing this. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure, what pleasure? The pleasure of the bruising, the grieving, and the offering for sin. A father offering his son as a sin offering and grieving him and bruising him for us. It says, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What does he mean by that? What he's literally saying here, he said, all that I invested into you, it was prosperous to me. And what Jesus came was sent to do, and that was to come as a man, to die, to take the bruising, to take the grieving, to die for our sins. He accomplished his mission and his purpose in life. And when he finished it with excellence. He gave himself, died for us. And it said he prospered in doing that. When we find our purpose, why we're here? When we find out what God has for us, why we're here, his purpose for us in this life, and we pick up the ball and we run with that with all our hearts, we're prospering. This is prosperity. It ain't just money. It ain't just about money. When you find God's purpose in your life and you fulfill that purpose, you are prospering in his hand. I can tell you right now, there is no greater joy and there is no greater prosperity, far above money, far above stuff, than to find your purpose in Christ. Know that you know that you know this is what God's called you to do in this life and run with it with everything you got. Man, I was just thinking about it, man. I tell you, that's where the happiness is. That's what you're looking for. It's not in the money. And we're going to find that out as we get into this. It isn't the money that makes you happy. It's in fulfilling your calling in God is what makes you happy. Money is just a tool in which to help you fulfill that calling. That's all it is. It's not the all in all of life. When you find God's purpose, you prosper. And when you're running in that, and that's your main focus, and that's what you see, and money, and you look at money as just nothing but a tool to fulfill that purpose that God has for you, he can afford to pile it on. Because he can trust it's not going to destroy you, it's not going to deviate you from your purpose and from God's plan. You're going to use it as a tool and use it the way he tells you to do it. And he'll be able to just dump it on you and dump it on you and dump it on you. And you won't be afraid to give. You won't be afraid to reach out because, you know, there's plenty more coming. I got the golden goose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm telling this to you from my heart because I want you guys to be fulfilled in life and I want you to be happy. And this is where the happiness comes from. Finding out what God's purpose is in your life and fulfilling it. That's the ultimate prosperity. Oh. If you get nothing else this morning, I want you to get that. Because truly, God's got your heart when you're giving it all to the purpose that God has called you to. I wish I could pull it out of me and show it to you or stuff it down in you. So you could get the reality of that thing. That's a great verse. Meditate on that verse. That's a good verse. Because Jesus fulfilled and prospered in that he fulfilled his calling and what he came to do. And it caused the Father to be pleased. It gave him pleasure. That's where your pleasing and your pleasure is going to come from. Amen. Let's look at the second definition. The second definition from the Strong's is to succeed in reaching, to promote, like a job promotion, to elevate, succeed in business, to help on the road. Oh, that's sweet. In other words, help others on their road. Mentor people. You know, when God prospers you in business, when he prospers you in areas of your life that you're willing to trust him in, it's not just for you. It's for everyone around you. And there's people who are going to come in your life and they don't know how to prosper the way you're learning how to prosper, the way you're prospering. And instead of looking at people going, well, I'm rich and you're poor, and so just step aside here, little lady. I got it under control. You need to be reaching out to people. This is part of prospering. I'll tell you what, there is such a great pleasure in meeting other people's needs. Man, I tell you, that just gives me joy. And you know, that's a godly joy, because that's what God's constantly doing. He's constantly wanting to meet our needs, wanting to bless us, always wanting to reach out. He started by giving the best he had, right off the top. He gave the best that he had. He didn't hold back, not an iota. And it pleased him to give his son. How pleasing are we when we drop it in the bucket, we go, oh. I'll work up the joy later. Well, the Bible does say, you know, give till it hurts. I mean, No. We're going to be exploring. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. There's power behind a cheerful giver. Oh, buddy. We'll be getting into that too. So, you know, in the world, we step on others to prosper in this kind of economy. That's what we're taught in this world system, is that you're going to have to make the other guy look bad, your coworker look bad, so that you shine. And then I get the promotion. Stepping on the hands of the people that are down below you on the rungs of the ladder. Oh, God. As you're climbing up the top. That's the world system. But what we're finding here is this. In God's kingdom, you prosper and you take it and you help others prosper too. Well, how am I going to get promoted then? How am I going to make it? It's God that does the promoting. As you invest in other people's lives, they're going, man, this guy's, if there was ever somebody I wanted to be a boss over me or get promoted or whatever, this guy has always invested in me. Just think what he can do if he's sitting at the top of the food chain. Because his very nature is reaching down and reaching out to other people. God promotes those kind of people. So lay down this idea out there that you got to kick the guy and, you know, knock him down. I mean, you know what? I worked at a company. I am not kidding you. I was working in a print shop, and some of the guys would actually sabotage the other guy's job so that it didn't come out right on, for printing. So he would get a bad mark on himself so that they would look better. It took a while for me to catch on to this. I was supervising this pre-press department. I'm not going, man, I mean, I know you know better than to make a mistake like that, and that was a costly mistake that you just made. And he's going, I don't know how I made it. I checked and double-checked. There's no way. And after a period of time, we found out there was a guy in there that was sabotaging people's jobs. Man, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that kind of thing. The third definition is a state of wholeness in relationship with God and man. Look at Luke 2:52. It's a fairly familiar passage of Scripture, but it's interesting that this is Jesus in Luke 2:52. It says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. That word stature literally means maturity. So Jesus grew in wisdom and the maturity to use that wisdom in God and man. You think, well, I thought he came out of the womb just tink. All-knowing and all, you know, everything's, mature and, you know. He came out of the womb and he already knew all wisdom and all things and everything, you know. It said he had to grow in these things. And we need to do the same thing. And we need to be searching the Scriptures. We need to be hounding the Scriptures, praying in the Holy Spirit, seeking God's will, seeking God's way, always maturing, always growing, always getting wisdom from God so that we're always maturing. Because as we grow and as we mature and God can trust us with more and more stuff, we're going to prosper more and more and more. But if we just read the Bible and go, oh, that was a good story, and that's all we ever get out of it, we're not going to grow, we're not going to mature, and God can't trust us with more stuff. He can't move us on. We're stuck. God wants us to grow and mature in Him. That's how you prosper. We need to grow up in the things of the Lord and take His instructions seriously concerning His Word and His instruction on how to function in this world. Boy, it gets quiet. All right, here we go. True prosperity involves five realms of existence: spirit, soul, body, social, and financial. These are the five realms of existence. And God wants us to prosper in all five, not just financial. And we really get off on the financial aspects of it. And we're discussing the financial aspects of it. But we must mature in all five realms of our life. The first one is spiritual, salvation and relationship with God. Look at Matthew 16:26. Matthew 16:26. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul?" What good does it do if we gain everything in the world and we never come to a relationship with God? It gains us nothing. It falls flat. But God wants us to prosper in the Spirit. He wants to make us born again and reborn, recreated spirits. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We know that's not true in the soulish man. We still have bad thoughts and all that. I mean, obviously we're struggling in the soulish man and our thinkings and all that. Our flesh certainly is the same. I mean, we still struggle with sickness and disease, and we battle this thing and that thing. But our spirit man is complete. He's talking about our spirit man. Our spirit is brand new, reborn, recreated, made in His image. Let's look at Ephesians 4:24. I want you to look at this and see it for yourself. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because it just really, really brings it out. Ephesians 4:24. This is what our spirit man looks like. This, we have already prospered in our spirits if you be born again. It says, "And put on the new nature," or the regenerated self. Do you see that? You're a regenerated self. "Created in God's image." You were recreated into the image of God. In fact, it literally says here, God-like. Boy, blasphemy. Blasphemy to think that my spirit is God-like. It's made in His image. God has created me, made me reborn into this God-like spirit. And I don't mean capital G God, but we are His sons. We are His daughters. We've been recreated in His image. That's a powerful teaching that we don't have time to get into, but I'm here to tell you that we need to be walking like or reborn, recreated spirits in God. If you want to go back to the website, the website for the church, charisfellowshipchurch.com, there's a whole series of teachings on the children of God. Check that out. This is who you are in Christ. The next thing is the soulish man, which is renewing our mind to think God thinks and not this world. Look at Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Again, a very familiar scripture. But in Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God doesn't want us saved and crazy. He wants us thinking along His lines. And I'll tell you what, when you're thinking along the lines of this world, you're thinking crazy. And if you haven't watched the news, it's crazy out there. Calling good evil and evil good. It's getting nuts out there all the time. We've got to renew our minds to His Word. So we start thinking straight. And when we start sharing about, how do we relate to money? And how, because the world, it's all about money. It's all about stuff. I mean, that's their all in all. That's their mammon God. And people look at us and they go, "How come you're not consumed with money? How come you're not consumed with stuff? I don't get that. I mean, what else is there to live for?" And that's how they think. You've got something far greater to live for. What a door opener. It is. For the sake of time, I'll just read this. 3 John, just write it down. 3 John 1:2. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." In other words, just at whatever level you're willing to renew your mind to and you're willing to believe what the Word is, that's the amount that you're going to prosper and be in health. Is this important or isn't it? We need to renew our minds to what the Word says and function the way the kingdom of God operates, not how this world operates. This is our home, the kingdom of God. It's up here. It's not here. We're just sojourners here. We're ambassadors here. This is not our home. We were born into a whole other kingdom. Ignoring the scriptures and the counsel of the Word will never move you to prosper in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what God's Word says, and that settles it. There is no other course. And when you have that kind of mindset, then you're going to take what the Word of God says and say, even though that's alien to my thinking because I've been trained by the world, I'm going to do it what God said to do, and I'm going to trust that His Word is true and the rest of the world is... Number 3, physical. What good is health, or what good is all the wealth in the world if you're not healthy? God wants you to prosper physically. In fact, He died for our physical healing. We need to receive that. We need to be healthy. This temple and this body and this vehicle is here to fulfill God's purpose on the earth. And we need these bodies because as soon as we leave them, our purpose here is gone. We have such a short period of time to make an impact right here because once we get into eternity, our opportunity is gone. So let's take advantage of it. He wants us to prosper socially. What good is a bunch of wealth and all that if you've made so many enemies you have no friends? It's all about money and you got nobody. Because you're so consumed with stuff at the price of everybody else. There's no prosperity in being a shut-in and not socializing with others. And people, it seems like the richer they got, they become hermits. They begin to draw in on themselves because they can't trust nobody because somebody's after my money. It's true. Was it Howard Hughes? I think it was Howard Hughes. The guy died afraid of germs. He was afraid of people. He lived in this little cocoon world. Nobody could touch him. He was afraid of everything. And he was the richest man on the planet at the time. Wow. What did it get him? But he was a miser. Man, I'm telling you, there's just, you know, when you get the proper perspective on money, it sets you free. And that's what we're going to learn in this church, because I want you to prosper. I do. I pray for you guys that you guys prosper. But if you don't learn biblical principles of how to handle money and have the proper perspective, you're never going to get there. And it's not right that the only person that prospers is the pastor. I want you to prosper. I want you to have this abundant life. I mean, I'm enjoying my life. I want you to enjoy yours. The things that I have found, I want to share them with you. I want to reach out and give those things to you so that you can prosper and life can get exciting for you if it is not already. Life can get exciting? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Life can be really good. And then, last but not least, financial. He wants us to be financially prosperous. Let them, this is Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Not just anybody, his servants. That's a key word right there. Those that are obeying what the Word says and has a proper perspective and God's number one in their life and they're able to function properly in the kingdom of God and on this earth, He's able to take pleasure in prospering you. He takes no pleasure in prospering you and in seeing you fall apart and be destroyed. There's no pleasure in that. But he who is willing to be a servant, he who is willing to shoulder up with God and take responsibility and be mature and have wisdom, those that are willing to step up, God takes pleasure in prospering you. And there's plenty for you as it goes through. Believe me, he takes care of him, of his people. He'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. And don't be ashamed of him taking care of you. Because there's going to come a time in your life. You grab hold of this and run with 100%. And you get a full grasp of this and you really go with what I'm going to teach you on this thing. And you really start prospering and things start bump. Don't feel embarrassed if somebody walks up to you and gives you a Mercedes. Drive it. Amen. Don't you dare sell it. You understand? That's your Father's blessing on your life. But don't you dare, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to stop here. We're going to get into that next week. We're going to talk about the two mindsets to overcome. One is poverty and holiness are synonymous. I grew up in that. I kept myself poor because that's what a holy person does. Anybody who has money is a backslidden, creepy, needs to get born again person. because they obviously stole and cheated their way to that. And I'm just here to tell you that you can prosper in the Lord and be a blessing while you're prospering. God, and we're going to examine that. God wants you to prosper. That's His will. Prosperity and holiness is not the same thing. You're not winning points with God because I'm just going to stay poor. Man, I came out of the Pentecostal church, and I'm telling you, they were steeped in that. When I first got born again, that's where I went first, was to the Pentecostal church. And I tell you, I don't want to get ahead of the sermon here. Man, we ate beans and weenies and took great pride. Thank you, Jesus. We're planting in heaven because we're eating beans and weenies. We're making the ultimate sacrifice for Christ. I don't even want to, we'll talk about that more next week. And the second mindset that we'll have to defeat, and we will, we're going to defeat it, we're going to get into the Word, is gain is godliness. And that's going clear out the other side of the freeway into the ditch on the other side, where it's like, you ain't got a relationship with God unless you're driving a Mercedes. So until you get to that point, you people are not cutting the mustard. Now, you're not walking in faith, obviously, because you don't live in a six-story house and have a pool in the backyard. There's a difference here. We're going to get into both of those things. We're going to talk about both of those things. We're going to literally nuke that mindset. We're going to blow it up. We're going to burn it and fry it. Both of those mindsets. Because we want to come to the place where we're prospering graciously in the Lord, so that as we do prosper at such extravagant heights, we don't become boastful and looking down on people and what's the matter with you and you're not walking right and must be a problem with you and blah, 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 blah. In that prosperity, God's going to direct you. Meet that need, go here, go there, do this. You know, channel, because you are a steward of what you have, not owner of what you have. And I'm getting ahead of myself again. I'm just so excited about this message. It's so good, I'm telling you.
Yes, it is.
And it's good for us to hear this. Nobody, you know, how many people are teaching this? Man, this is good. Don't miss a Sunday. You want to get every bit of this. But if you just have to, it'll be on the website. But it's so much sweeter in person. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your Word. Your Word is so good. And it teaches us how to have a proper perspective in our life so that we don't rob you and cheat you out of your blessings that you want to pour out upon us. You want so bad to prosper us and just pour out a blessing on us that we can't contain it. So overwhelming with joy of what you're pouring out on us that we're just like, it's got to be God. It's not me. There's no way that this could happen except by the mighty power and hand of God in my life. And as that witness and everybody around goes, it has to be God in his life. How could he possibly prosper that much? Then we're able to take that and share that gospel with others. Thank you, Lord. You did say that you wanted to bless us so that we can be a blessing. You said in Deuteronomy that you wanted to bless us to the place to where, in order to spread your covenant across this planet. And as we commit ourselves to that's exactly what we want to do. We want to be able to spread your Word all over this planet. And it takes money to do that. It takes us growing and maturing and becoming adults in you so that we can handle the responsibility, handle the load that few Christians are willing to take on. we're a different people here. We are going to grow up, we're going to get responsible, and we're going to do the purpose that you have for us. And we thank you, Lord, and we're privileged, and we're honored that you would choose us for this great task to spread your word all over the world, to meet our purpose, to meet our calling, and do it as adults, and be able to get the job done. So few are willing to step up. Lord, I just pray that our hearts are prepared to step up and be that responsible Christian, that responsible son and daughter to you, that we would walk as children of God here on this earth, mighty, walking in mighty signs and wonders, in wealth, in everything you meant us to have. Help us to mature in this so that we can handle it and not be destroyed. We just thank you, Lord. This is the kind of God you are. You want our heart, and we give our heart to you. And we're committing ourselves today, right now, drawing a line in the sand. We will let nothing come between your love and us. Because we know that you never stop loving us, no matter what. But help us not to be sidetracked by stuff and by this world. That we would be able to hold and be faithful and mature. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us to teach us how to do that. And we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.